Thanks for tuning in to KBOO on International Women's Day. I'm Maggie Starr. For the next half hour, we're going to be hearing from local women in a very specialized profession, tattoo artists. Stay tuned.
Tyler had some original stuff here on his upper sleeve that a friend of his had done, and what we're going to do with this eventually is we're incorporating some space and spaceships and, you know, intergalactic kind of stuff into the actual piece that he had, incorporating it. So he has one cohesive sleeve. Yeah. So I'm just going to revamp it and make it look pretty for him. And then all this other stuff I'm doing is like a lot of background to give it depth and, you know, kind of create a little bit more of a non-one-dimensional surface. Like you can actually, at one point, we'll be able to, you know, go into space.
That's Miss Mickey working at Artwork Rebels and soon to be opening her own shop, Fortune Tattoo. She started tattooing 24 years ago in Portland.
You know, we used to deal with a lot of ship guys coming in on Rose Festival and stuff like that.
Mary Jane Hockey of Dermographics Tattoo has been in the business for 30 years. The tradition of tattooing, though, is ancient.
People in Egypt, thousands of years old, the Iceman that they dug up in Italy, they're all tattooed. Cleopatra had her makeup tattooed on. It all started over there. It was a rite of passage. It came to America because sailors and merchant marines brought it here. In the 70s, there was Seattle, Bremerton, huge, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, all ports of call for naval and sailors. It all came from that.
Tattoos arrived on the bodies of sailors. They made their way onto people from all walks of life, and you can get one today at any number of shops in Portland. In some shops, you can pick out your design from the flash or sample art on the walls. But a lot of Portland shops do nothing but custom work. So if you go in to see Michael Gilmore, co-owner of New Rose Tattoo, the first thing she'll do is design your tattoo. And you get to help.
I'd probably start the process of trying to get what's in your brain out into verbal, you know, and then into a drawing.
Mary Jane Hockey's clients sometimes bring things or pictures to communicate their ideas.
They may bring in all kinds of things, stuffed animals, invariably a ton of images off the internet now, but then it's up to me to take whatever's in their head, figure out what body part they want it on, and turn it into a visual symbol that's timeless, because they have to have it their whole life. That may take two or three appointments, and it may never gel. I, in the final analysis, am a trade person who tries to put into visual form your dream or idea or essence.
Ms. Mickey.
And I usually ask really direct questions, and sometimes that kind of puts people on guard, you know, because I'm not fishtailing it through and snuggling up to them and making them feel good about themselves. I'm like, no, seriously, I have so limited amount of time, but I'm going to try to get to it as precisely as possible. What is it that you want, you know, with no bull to it?
People are interesting. People's stories are interesting. Why they're getting what they're getting to me is I like to take that into account. You know, if you're getting this little kitty face because it reminds you of your grandma, I think that's cool. And I'm honored that I get to be able to do that for you. You know, that stuff kind of makes my day sometimes.
Anne Mirando of Adorn Body Art in Beaverton says not all tattoos are good ones.
I am kind of persnickety. I tend to not do husband, wife, significant other names. I will try really hard to talk somebody out of stuff. To, like, if I get a little 18, 19, 20-year-old kid in and they want stuff on their forearms, to me it's really important to express the fact of, you know, you don't know where you're going to be in 20 years. You don't know where you're going to be in 10 years. Are you sure you want a big, huge anarchy symbol on your forearm? Let's think about this. Let's maybe move it up someplace where you can hide it.
Sometimes the clients themselves recognize that. Mary Jane Hockey.
And a lot of people determine that they don't necessarily want a tattoo. Maybe they want an embroidered coat or something they can hang on the wall. Or maybe they want a piercing. Maybe they want implants. I mean, all these things are around.
Some people may have a drawing of what they want or a picture, but tattoo design is different than graphic design. Tracy Manley also co-owns New Rose Tattoo.
Yeah, it's going to change when it's not flat anymore. if you're putting on something that's like writing that is just, you know, really inorganic, just like something off the printer, you know that when you put that on your forearm, whenever you move, that's going to twist, and it's always going to be moving with you. So sometimes that's different for clients. They see it on the paper, it looks great, and they're wanting it on their wrist, and then they're not realizing that it's really going to move and get skewed and be this part of them.
To actually get the pigment into the skin, artists use needles powered by a tattoo machine. Ms. Mickey.
Right now I have a 8-round loose setup, just because I've already done all the detailing, little lines that I usually do on my first preliminary outline. And I also have a 7-mag setup for color.
You have different gauges of needles. The angles of the needle tips could be blunt or tapered. There are configurations of needles that are flats or rounds. They're soldered down tight or loose. All of them create different effects. They all feel differently in your hand. So you need to find a piece of equipment that replicates your drawing style. The quality of pigments and machines and needles, it's really great. The only thing that holds tattooing back is the canvas. It's skin. And by canvas levels, it's kind of like a burlap sack.
Again, that was Mary Jane Hockey. Any artist who's been around a while or got their first tattoo years ago has experience with the unreliability of skin as a medium for art. Ms. Mickey.
I know, I've seen too much of it over the years that when you go to do something just kind of without thinking or without knowing what the end result's going to be in 5 or 10 years, your body changes. So some of these things that people are wanting on their bodies, they don't realize that 5 to 10 years from now, it's going to be different.
It would be an extremely rare tattooer who was an artist before she was a collector. Michael Gilmore got her first tattoo at 18.
They are addictive. You might have heard that before. It's very true. They're kind of like potato chips. You can't have just one.
Anne Mirando.
Do I ever worry that I'm out of easy spots to tattoo? I'm already there.
When Mary Jane Hockey started, being visibly tattooed was much more unusual. She got a band with a red rose on her wrist, and at the time, that was her ticket out of mainstream society.
I mean, that was in the 70s. That was a huge deal. Nobody had visible tattoos like that. And I went, I'm doing that so I never have to work in a professional office again. I did it because it was so far out of the realm of acceptable behavior that it forced me mentally to take the step and be an artist for life, which is what I wanted to do. People don't do that now. People get tattoos now because they want to be part of the mainstream, part of their peer group. There was really no peer group back then. I went for years and didn't know a single woman that had tattoos. Not a contemporary of mine. I never saw them.
Now lots of women have visible tattoos, but that doesn't mean the tattoos are gender neutral. Michael Gilmore.
A descriptive that they use when helping me design is always, I want it feminine, girly, swirly. So be it. I do know kind of, I've learned to, like, okay, I know what you're talking about. They don't want a masculine tattoo. So it's important to a lot of women out there that their tattoos are very feminine. You know, and usually that person walking in, they are a feminine person. They're in, they have a bright pink bag and everything, and their tattoos should match them. So if that's how they feel, then that's what they should wear.
After 30 years in the business, Mary Jane Hockey still feels protective of women who get very visible tattoos.
I feel myself being very protective of young women getting that kind of tattooing, which my mom says means I'm old now because I'm outraged by the antics of the youth of America. I certainly can dress and look like a school teacher. I've always had that ability to do that. I couldn't do that if I had a tattoo on my neck. I mean, I have a tattoo on my hand, but I can put a ring over it. I believe that the world is a pretty conservative place, and the people in the biggest positions of power over us are money lenders and real estate agents and people that want to sell us a washing machine. And if they take a look at you and think that you're a risk, and if that's the case, then they're going to hold it against you. And I'm not for anything that puts boundaries, particularly on women. We have enough boundaries as it is.
And of course, not all visible tattoos make the collector stand out. With medical tattooing, it's actually the point to make someone look more normal. A lot of Mary Jane Hockey's medical work is on breast cancer survivors.
So you have women getting reconstructed. They can rebuild the form, but they can't put color in. So I can actually match an areola in a nipple. I can match a skin graft from another part of your body. I can cover up a surgical scar. If you're a child, I can correct your cleft palate. It's a large growing part of tattooing, but it is a process. Instead of going in and just picking up the tattoo, re-tattooing a hunk of skin to look like every other skin with all the varied colors and the translucency in the blood vessels, that takes months.
Listening to KBOO's International Women's Day special. Right now, we're hearing from local female tattoo artists. Stay tuned.
I came into this in my teenagers, you know, and it was something that was comfortable for me. I mean, at that time, it was more kind of biker-oriented, carny, the end of the carny age and stuff. And so it wasn't really female-friendly, but it was still kind of rough enough from the streets, but yet a safe haven, I guess, because I could dress the way I wanted to. I could listen to the music I wanted to. So, I mean, the only other places at that time was, like, working at Tower Records, and that's not what I wanted to do with my life, you know? And then I found a guy here, Don Deaton, in Portland, Oregon, from Sea Tramp Tattoo. Used to hang out there quite a bit and had known him on the streets and such from doing artwork, and asked me to be an apprentice. And I fought him for it for a couple of years. I wasn't into it, and then finally took him up on it. And I never looked back.
Amanda Myers also apprenticed with Don Deaton. When she left Sea Tramp, she started Infinity Tattoo, a shop that she still co-owns.
Mary Jane Hockey sent me to go see Don. She knew Don needed somebody because Miss Mickey had left and moved to California. So Don was gracious enough. We hit it off and gave me an apprenticeship, which is basically I just started hanging out with him and helping him, and then started tattooing and working with him at Sea Tramp. So I was lucky to get that experience and that time to get to know him and get a good kind of old school training. Mary Jane Hockey, who owns Dermographics, she was the first custom studio and someone to offer something like that. Literally pretty private studio off the street.
When Mary Jane Hockey started in 77, there were 12 tattoo artists total on the whole West Coast. She learned from Bert Grimm, a legendary artist, and then struck out on her own, founding Dermographics Tattoo.
It's Dermographics, and at the time, I had worked for Bert Grimm in a street shop, and I really wanted to be able to create my own art. I had done a thesis for the Art Museum in 81 and had run an ad, say, this is how naive I was, tell me your fantasies. I put it in Willamette Week because I thought I could put people's dreams onto their skin. And that unleashed 6 months of men calling up and telling me their sexual fantasies over the phone. They never read the second line, pre-work to the right tattoo person. From the day I walked into the tattoo studio, I was a legal secretary. Didn't even know what I thought I was walking into a head shop. I had no idea it was a tattoo studio. From that day, and the day I picked up my machine, I made as much or more money than anybody in the joint. Because it's not based on male-female. It's really based on your talent and what you can charge.
Amanda Myers actually found her gender to be an asset when she was starting.
I wouldn't say I'm treated different because I'm a woman. I think when I started out, it was definitely like a benefit because in Portland, there weren't too many gals tattooing. There was Mary Jane and Marcy Hovanek, who owns Lucky Lady. And then maybe few years later, another handful, another generation of women came in, but it was kind of an asset. A lot of people liked that. They're like, oh, cool, you know, chick tattooer, kind of a novelty.
But that was far from the case for many artists. Anne Mirando got her start in Nevada.
back then especially, was very much, if you didn't get a really proper by-the-book apprenticeship start, you sort of got thrown in and you did the sink or swim version. And I definitely got thrown in the deep end and swam. I sucked it up and I ate a lot of crap my first couple years tattooing to be able to do this, working in a studio with a male chauvinist pig and his little piglets. And that sounds really harsh. My first couple years working were really harsh. And I did it because I love what I do.
Tina Greer, who also works at Adorn, is from the South. She learned to tattoo in North Carolina.
One of the artists that was doing some of my work offered to teach me. And I beat the lumber mill I was working at. So that's how I got into it. But the man that apprenticed to me basically just, he kind of just wanted a shop tart, you know, something cute to put out front and make him some dough while he played. And that worked for a couple of years. I played that game and then I left.
When Mary Jane Hockey first decided she wanted to learn tattooing from Bert Grimm, his wife worried about her.
She said that only women of the night and hookers, low-class women, especially unmarried women, could be tattooers. And the only reason they even taught me how to tattoo was that I had my then-boyfriend sign a piece of paper that said it was okay with him and that he would still marry me, even if I was a tattooer. That's pretty hard to imagine, isn't it?
Miss Mickey.
And it was pretty primarily a male-dominated business, so... Richard Bach said, argue for your limitations and sure enough they're yours. So I kind of lived by that for most of my life, and just what I wanted I strove for. You know, I just had to prove myself and had to prove myself in a man's world.
Tracy Manley picked up tattooing 5 years ago after studying graphic design, working as a pastry chef, and running a coffee shop.
And we were sitting around waiting for the restaurant to open. Somebody said, you know, if you could do anything, what would it be? And I said, I'd be a tattoo artist, like right off the bat. And I'd never thought of that before. And I can't do that. My parents aren't dead, so I can't do that. But I learned from Rio de Janeiro at Oregon School of Tattoo Arts. And he's upstairs from C-Tramp. And I spent about a year with Rio. It took me a while to get through my apprenticeship just because I didn't have a lot of friends that wanted to get tattoos. It took me a while to get all my procedures done, to get tested. And I was working full-time too, so... it was kind of a busy time. I know I tattooed my mom. I tattooed my dad first. He was my first tattoo. And my mom, after that, said, when am I going to get mine? Tattooing my dad didn't make me nervous, and she just really scared me tattooing her. So I just said, you have to wait. You have to wait until I do 40 procedures. So she had to wait a while. But I ended up doing like a paisley tattoo design on her hip. And I remember it took me probably 4 hours. And she was a saint to sit through all that. And it shouldn't have taken 4 hours. Like now, I could probably do it in like 40 minutes.
You're listening to KBOO's International Women's Day special. Right now, we're hearing from local female tattoo artists. Stay tuned. The Portland tattoo scene is always changing. Has been ever since it started. Amanda Myers.
I mean, there's always been shops popping up. Shops come and go. Certain shops stay. You see, there's the shops that haven't gone, and there's always shops opening and closing.
It's changing for women, too. Michael Gilmore.
I think it's changing a lot. Most of my 8 years in the industry, I would have said strongly right off out of the gate, yes, very male-dominated. In the last couple of years, I mean, here we have Kat Von D, who was on Miami Ink, spin off and get her own show. And in Portland, there's a lot of amazing female tattooers, so we're really spoiled and lucky here.
Portland is a hotspot for women artists and a place where large numbers of women get tattoos. But it's still part of a society that keeps women on the sidelines in a lot of areas. Amanda Myers.
If you look at who all the tip-top rock star artists are and who's always featured in every convention, and I mean, there's a lot that goes on with it. Being recognized, you know, in the tattoo scene. And they're all men. There's always a handful of women, but women are still totally marginalized in the whole scene. I mean, every tattoo magazine, it's always dude, 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 dude. You know, all the rock star shops are pretty much dude shops. And I'm not sounding bitter, it's just how it is. So, I've been in the industry long enough, and you know, it's just a small piece of how the whole world is. I'm not going to change anything except just doing what I do well.
Especially in Portland, though, there's a critical mass of women artists with independent careers. Tracy Manley still sees the old boys network, but doesn't let it affect her.
And it still exists, and there's still guys that do that, and that's how they want to be. That's great, you know. I don't have to hang out with them. I can still be doing what I like to do, and they can still do great work.
More and more shops are run by women, and there are more and more women artists. Melanie Need runs Icon Tattoo. It's only one example of a shop featuring mostly female artists.
Because it's been a sort of male-dominated industry, it's a sort of point of pride, I guess, for me to provide a space where women get to flourish and be sort of the dominant force and to have success and grow big clientele.
Tracy Manley.
I know when I've tattooed men, sometimes they'll say, wow, you're the first woman that's tattooed me. And I think they think it's going to be some different experience. And really, they're getting a tattoo. And I think they realize later, during it, like, you know, it's not that different.
Of course, this rise in female tattoo artists isn't taking place in a vacuum. Tattooing has recently become much more socially acceptable, thanks in part to reality TV shows like Miami Ink and LA Ink. Michael Gilmore.
It brought it into the living rooms, and it made it that much more attainable, and the mystery of it and the mystique of it removed for a lot of people that were either afraid to walk into a tattoo shop, didn't think they could handle the pain.
Melanie Need has seen interest in her shop's training program spike with the rise of the popularity of the art form.
We are a school and we train one or two people a year only, and in the past 5 years, the number of people interested in the program has, exponentially grown. For a while, especially when the tattooing reality shows were really big and had just gotten popular, we were getting sometimes 5 to 10 inquiries a day from people who were interested. You can't control the way that things are going to evolve, and almost anything that's cool and starts out as this as a kind of underground thing is at some point going to be adopted by popular culture. That's just the reality.
Mary Jane Hockey remembers that when she started, getting tattooed was a conscious step out of the mainstream.
I was out of the closet in my own way, in a way that was unacceptable, and it was okay with me. Because tattoos are so popular now, it's almost stepping in. You know, you're joining the party. You're not leaving the party and going to a different place.
Now there's a growing number of tattooed people, and a growing number of tattoo artists, too. Oregon is unusual because it requires new artists to go to a licensed tattoo trade school to get a license. In most other states, rookies learn by apprenticing with a working artist. Amanda Meyer says the change has had an impact on tattooing in Oregon.
Traditionally, if you wanted to become a tattooer, you would make a relationship with a tattoo artist, do what I did, go in and say, hey, can you give me an apprenticeship? A lot of people would pay the tattooer for an apprenticeship. Some people wouldn't. Some just, a master would train their person and then have them work for them for several years. And, you know, the Board of Education in Oregon found out about this money exchange. So now tattooers have to be private career schools to train people. So therefore, there's a lot of tattooers that have opened up tattoo schools.
More tattoo schools means more and more tattoo artists. There are over 50 schools in Oregon today. Ms. Mickey.
We've lost the whole apprenticeship program, and it's sad. I mean, like, if I wanted to take on an apprentice, it's because I felt that they were worthy of it, because it's a trade that is not supposed to be for everybody.
The trade may not be for everyone, and tattoos may not be for everyone. But by the numbers, more and more people are tattooing and collecting. Some people who get tattoos today might not have even dreamed of entering a shop 15 years ago. Melanie Needs sees some of them at Icon Tattoo.
I see a lot of people who are a little older, just different than your stereotypical tattooed young person. And I would attribute at least some of that to this sort of popularizing of tattooing, that it's made it a little safer for some of those people. I would imagine.
She took over the shop this past summer after apprenticing with its former owner and then working there for 7 years. When she moved to a new location, she gave the shop a non-traditional feel. From the sidewalk, it could be a boutique.
And even though now there are many more female artists, it's typically had a super masculine feel to it, which is one of the big reasons that I decided to make my shop not feel that way. A lot of times, to me, the feel when I walk into a shop is it's sort of like masculine and aggressive. And that's not something that I feel particularly comfortable in. And so it was my thinking that there are probably a number of people who feel more comfortable in a different environment than that.
For some clients, the atmosphere of the shop is important. But to Miss Mickey, the quality of the artist is ultimately the most important thing.
I mean, if you look in that in any field, whether you're an electrician, a plumber, any of that, you know, you'd want somebody that's really good to be doing your work. I'm not going to sell myself on you. I don't need to do that. I'm karmatically attached to you the rest of your life. And if you want me to kiss your ass or something like that to earn your business, I'm not the person for you. You know, if I have a rapport with you, we're going to have a lot of fun. You know, and I look forward to that because we have to spend hours together. And at the end result, we want to make something beautiful.
Tattoos fascinate a lot of people because they last forever. Melanie Need.
You know, we feel a sense of our own impermanence and mortality. And in a way, tattooing is something that is immortal. It will actually last longer than you do. Your body changes. You lose friends. You lose loved ones. You lose phases of your life, but your tattoos stay with you.
Mary Jane Hockey.
I mean, as an artist, we're really proud and we throw our blood, sweat, and tears into a piece of art that walks out our door that we may never see again. That will probably never look as good as it did the moment they walked out. And so it's a strange concept to create art every day that you can't have. It's permanent, but not for me. I don't get it. We get blessed. We get to touch people. It's just so cool. It's really a gift. You know, it makes you feel connected to humanity on a level that most people never get to experience, and it pays our bills. Now, who gets to do that? It's a really rarefied world in which we live. And for females in Portland, we are particularly blessed.
Ms. Mickey.
There's a beauty to this art that just goes so deep and it's so in touch with spiritual parts of it all and energy connection and karma and I don't know. I just love it. So.
You've been listening to local female tattoo artists as part of KBOO's International Women's Day special. I'm Maggie Starr. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Anne Mirando and Tina Greer at Adorn Tattoo and Body Art, to Miss Mickey at Artwork Rebels and Fortune Tattoo, to Mary Jane Hockey at Dermographics Tattoo, Melanie Need at Icon Tattoo, Amanda Myers at Infinity Tattoo, and to Michael Gilmore and Tracy Manley at New Rose Tattoo. There's more International Women's Day programming coming up. Next, Linda Olsen-Osterlin talks with local reporter Kimberly Wilson about the situation in Haiti. And later this evening, a special edition of Paula's Picks with music for Women's Day. Stay tuned.